And good morning and welcome to the Biz Talk with Score radio program. My name is Randy Melzer. I'll be your host today. Tony is, as we say, on the road again. So he will be gone today and next week. But I have a special guest as our co-host today, one of our newer mentors with Score, and that's Mr. Dick Jones. Dick, good to have you with us.
Well, thanks, Randy. I've been with Score for just this past year. During that time, I've mentored folks anywhere from purchasing a butcher shop to purchasing a radio station. My background is in commercial lending, 30 years, spent 7.5 years in Chicago, and the last 23 or so in Wisconsin. So it's commercial lending, business lending. That's my background. Okay. Glad to be here.
So when it comes to the question of where's the money, we get a hold of you.
I'm your man.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Dick, glad to have you with us today. Also, our guest we'll be introducing shortly is Chris Schneider. Chris is with Epiphany Law, and we'll be talking about intellectual property today, which should be a very interesting subject. First, though, before we get into that, I'd like to just take a few minutes to mention a few things about SCORE here in the Fox Cities. We offer special services to anyone who is interested in starting a business, has a business idea, been in business for a while. We offer free mentoring services, and as Dick mentioned, he's a specialist in the area of financials, but we have experts in just about any area of business that you might have a problem with or question, starting with people like myself who do a lot of general stuff, to specialists in marketing, in the area of cash flow, in the area of intellectual property, legal questions, just about any area of business that you need. We have right now about 48 mentors, and we are covering 8 counties all the way down through Fond du Lac, Oshkosh, Green Lake, and then Calumet, Outagamie, Wapaka. So any of the areas that you're in, if you have a need for help, either to start a business, clarify what you're doing with your business idea, or if you've been in business for a while and are looking for help to make things better, give us a call. You can reach us at the phone number, which is at 734-7101. That's at the Fox Cities Chamber office here. Probably the best way to get in touch with us is directly online, and that is at foxcities.score.org. Go on out there, fill in the information about what it is and how we can help you get started. And the nice part about it is that all of our mentoring services are free. So all the people that you're dealing with are volunteers. They're there to help you. And so please, like I said, contact us at foxcities.score.org, and we'll be more than happy to start working with you. In addition to the mentoring services we offer, SCORE also does a number of seminars throughout the year, and we have our next one coming up as of June. I wish it was. Unfortunately, that's going to be in January. It will be on January the 14th. It will be the first session of our Simple Steps program. That's a 5-part seminar program that we have that covers all of the areas as far as what's involved in starting a business and putting together a business plan. And session number one, as I said, January 14th, is a morning session. It starts at 8 o'clock for registration and will be held at the Copper Rock Coffee Shop right downtown in Appleton. We'll be talking about business basics. The second session will be the following Wednesday. That will be the 21st. That will cover the areas of the different basic things you need in a business, including attorney, accountant, insurance, and all of those areas, what is important to getting your business going. The third session will be in regard to marketing and including things along social media areas as well as general marketing. Fourth session is all on financial planning, all of the documentation that you need, including a CD that's provided for you that has all of the documents, how they relate, including things like your cash flow, profit and loss, asset liability statements, all of those things that most people look at and get a little frightened about. We're more than happy to sit down. That's about a 3-hour session just covering how those things are put together and how they work together. And then the last session, that's the one that'd be near and dear to Dick's heart, and that is where do I find the money. So we start talking about the traditional forms of financing as well as the non-traditionals, including things like crowdfunding, angel investors, things like that, that people are interested in finding out, how do I get the money to start my business? So again, it's an excellent program. The first session starts on January the 14th. If you want to register, again, go out to our website at foxcities.score.org. It'll be under local programs. And each session is $25. You can register for one or all of the sessions at one time. So again, take a look. Hopefully later in this year, we'll be doing another session of the special Simple Steps programs, as well as some other individual seminars and programs for SCORE. So again, reminder to keep an eye out for the different programs that we're going to be having and ways that you can use the SCORE programs to help you develop your business. The other thing I just want to take a moment to do is to say thank you to the sponsors of the BizTalk radio show. These are the people that help us keep this going and keep SCORE going here in the Valley. Again, a thank you to Albertson Hailing CPAs, business accounting firm, does a lot of work with us. They're located in both the Fox Cities here in Green Bay. Bank First National, excellent organization for financial lending. Again, give them a call if you are looking for loans, funding for your business. We'd like to also thank Epiphany Law, and we'll be talking a little bit more about their many services that they have as a boutique law firm here in the Valley. And also a thank you to the Fox Communities Credit Union, working throughout the Fox Cities, again, providing help for businesses with products and services to help you get started. In addition, we also would like to say thank you to eBiz Results. eBiz Results are the people who help us put together our website, which is the BizTalkWithScore.com website. They keep us operating and running on that program. And we also want to say thank you to the Business News, an excellent publication. It comes out every 2 weeks and has all of the background material information that you need to see what's happening in the Northeast Wisconsin area. They cover all the way, again, from Brown, Calumet, Kewaunee, Marinette, Marquette, all of the different counties in the area. So keeping you current and up to date. It's an excellent publication. As I said, comes out every 2 weeks. And we recommend that you get a subscription. It's only $20 a year. So check into that if you want to stay up to date and know what's going on in business. Now, with that said, we're going to take a quick break at this point. We'll be back to introduce our guest and get started with the rest of the program. So you're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this. Ha!
Good morning again. My name is Randy Melzer. I'm your host here for the BizTalk radio program. Thank you, Vicki, for again, as always, finding us a real good lead-in song to introduce our guest. We're going to be talking today with Chris Schneider. Chris is with the Epiphany Law Firm, and Chris's area is in the, we're going to be talking about is intellectual property. So if you have any questions for us on that particular topic or any other business topic, please give us a call. You can reach us here at 281-1150 in Appleton or on the TDS Metricom toll-free at 1-866-887-1150. So again, if you have any questions for us, please give us a call, especially 281-1150. So with that, I'd like to introduce our guest today, and that is Chris Schneider. Chris, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Randy. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Just as a quick opener, can you tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into this area, and how you became involved with Epiphany Law?
Sure. Yeah, I grew up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Moved out to Colorado for college, went to law school in Madison, and kind of slowly made my way back home. I worked after law school, that was about 3 years ago now, at a firm in Madison, Milwaukee for about a year. Then got the great opportunity to come up here a little closer to home and work with Epiphany. Mm-hmm. Epiphany is a, like you said earlier, a boutique law firm that focuses on the needs of businesses and people that are involved in business. That's kind of how it started. We've got six lawyers now. Three or four of us focus exclusively on business transactional services. So anything a business needs, from starting up to buying real estate to dealing with employees, intellectual property, buying and selling companies. And then we've got an estate planning attorney, Patrick Furman, and then we've got an attorney who does litigation exclusively. So focused primarily on business, but we've expanded a little bit into estate planning and litigation too.
Okay, I understand you have one program. It's called Take an Attorney to Lunch. Do you guys still do that?
Yep, we've got Take a Lawyer to Lunch. It's a pretty good deal, I think, for both us and the person that takes us to lunch. The deal is, you know, you can call, anybody can call in, ask to take one of us to lunch. You pay for lunch. It doesn't have to be anywhere fancy. It can be beef eaters right by our office. That's perfect.
I've heard Kevin say no McDonald's.
No McDonald's. It depends on who it is. Kevin
right.
might not want to go to McDonald's.
Okay. I'm talking about Kevin Eisman, of course, who's the you know, principal attorney at the with your organization. Okay. If we needed to call you for that program, where do I reach you? What are your phone numbers, and how do we get in touch with you?
Phone number 920-996-0000. We've got a website, too. It's epiphanylaw.com.
Okay. And
you have a classy website. Let me tell you, it's terrific. I also like your ads, your commercials on television. No words spoken, just a flashlight looks like you're on your message. Very effective, very classy.
Yep, one of the ways that we identify ourselves is being different. So if you look at our website, I think one of the words on top is specialized. We're specialized in business law, and we do things a little bit different. We're very family-oriented law firm, and we're very professional, but we like to have fun, too. And so we try to market in a little bit different ways, and those ads you'll see on Time Warner are kind of indicative of that. So,
good. How did you get involved with the area of intellectual property? That's kind of a specialized piece.
Yeah, that goes back to when I was in law school. I went to the University of Wisconsin Law School, and they've got a cool clinic there that helps startup companies for free, essentially. It's kind of like SCORE, but with law students, we get experience. And through that experience, I helped a couple startup companies with trademarks and license agreements and things like that. And so then when I came to Epiphany, it was a good natural fit.
Okay. Well, what we're going to be talking about then for the rest of the program is going to be just that, the intellectual properties, words like trademarks, and logos and copyrights and trade secrets and patents. So if you have, again, any questions out there as far as that's concerned, give us a call, 281-1150 or 1-866-887-1150. And we're going to be taking a quick break right now, then be back and talking a little bit more with Chris for some details on all of the things you need to know about intellectual properties. This is the Biz Talk Radio Show on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.
Lawyers in love.
All righty, welcome back to Biz Talk. Again, my name is Randy Melzer. I'm your host today, and my co-host is Dick Jones, who's one of the SCORE mentors. And we are talking to Chris Snyder, who is one of the attorneys at the Epiphany Law Office. Our target talk about today is going to be intellectual property. Chris, when we start talking about that, there's a lot of different terms. You're talking about anything, copyrights, trademarks, all those types of things. Can you kind of talk us through a little bit about some of the different things that are involved in intellectual property?
Sure. I think you hit on a couple of them there, Randy. You know, intellectual property is oftentimes an underlooked asset for a company. You think about assets of a typical company. You think of the machines that they have, land that they own, some of their employees. But depending on the type of business, the intellectual property, the ideas that go into the business are the most valuable part of the business. You know, we talk about a couple different types of intellectual property. People are generally familiar with patents, and so you know, you come up with an invention, you really need to protect it with a patent, mm-hmm. and there's a lot that goes into that. Our firm doesn't do patents. Specifically, you've got to take an additional bar exam and essentially have a science degree to do that as well.
Right. I've noticed most of the people who are in the patent area are actually a combination of attorneys and engineers.
Some type of engineer, or if you know they're working with chemical patents, there'll be a chemist, things like that. Mm-hmm. So we don't file the patents for people. For that, you've got to have that you know, patent bar under your belt. But we do help people with their patent issues. So, you know, when you've got a patent, you can do a couple different things with it. You can take advantage of the patent yourself, or a lot of times the best business model is to license your ideas to somebody mm-hmm. else. So we've got a lot of clients that, you know, they came up with a great idea. They don't want to invest the time or the money into the manufacturing. So they'll license their idea to somebody else and collect some kind of royalty. So although we don't do the, you know, patent filing, we do help people with managing their patent portfolios.
Okay, well, let's just talk about the areas that we work with. A lot of confusion in people's minds. Copyright, trademark, trade secrets. Can you kind of break each one of those down for me?
Sure. A copyright is an expressive work that somebody comes up with. So, you know, songs that you hear on the radio, poems that you read, books, manuals that companies come up with, websites are all copyrighted. So it's an expressive work that is, you know, either put on paper or recorded in some fashion. You can't get a copyright on an idea in your head. It's got to be, you know, recorded in one way or another. A trademark, on the other hand, can include copyrighted works, but a trademark is the logo or the name or the design that you use to identify your business. So it's what you put out there and hope that people will recognize as being affiliated with your business and the good services that you provide.
Okay. I notice a lot of, you mentioned websites, and I notice a lot of people do their own websites. What do they have to be careful of? How should they protect themselves when designing their own website?
Yep, that'll depend a lot on the type of website. So if you're collecting information from somebody, particularly, you know, if it's a health website, you've got HIPAA rules to look out for. If you're collecting financial information from somebody, you've got to be very careful to have adequate protection regarding other people's data. And there's a lot of, you know, that's a big topic right now. You can get insurance policies to protect yourself from breaches of other people's confidential information. Another big topic is you've got to be careful of not putting somebody else's copyrighted work onto your website. And this particularly comes up if you're hosting some kind of forum or if you're allowing third parties to post information on your website. Because, you know, you got to be essentially monitoring the stuff that other people put on your website. And so they've come up with laws and there's safe harbors for taking down copyrighted material that somebody else puts on your website. But you really want to make sure that everything on your website is yours and, you know, comply with those rules if you're allowing other people to put information on your website.
If you're encouraging comments to your website, mm-hmm. is there any concern you should have with that?
Certainly,
you know, a lot of sites want you to give positive remarks about your service. Mm-hmm. And how about negative comments about your service or product?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, if you're allowing people to post on your own website, you want to make sure that you're going to have good feedback. If you're allowing people to post information about somebody else, you want to make sure that nothing illegal is being said on your website. And so if you've got a website, you just got to maintain the website and continually monitor it to make sure that, you know, nothing that you wouldn't want to be said on there is said on there.
Okay. Well, now, if I'm going to – I have an idea or I have a document or so on that I want to protect, either copyright, trademark, where do I start? What do I do first, and then how do I walk through the different steps?
Sure. It really depends on which type you're looking at. So Let's go with copyrights first. You can file for a copyright with the Federal Copyright Office.
Mm-hmm.
You're not required to do that, but you know, doing that gives you some added protection when it comes to filing a lawsuit and okay. protecting.
So if I have a, let's say, a piece of software or a book that I wrote or something that I don't actually have to file a copyright on that. It's just it's automatically copyrighted?
Automatically, yep. So the notes okay. that you've got in front of you right now are copyrighted in okay. your name.
Okay. And how do what do I have to do? I have to do anything special to protect those or just the fact that I have them, that's it, it's copyrighted? Then what do I do next?
Well, it, you know, you've got the copyright automatically when you write it on the page, but then you've got to be essentially monitoring. If you want to actually have protection, you got to kind of play defense.
Okay.
And that comes up with trademarks as well.
Okay.
You can, well, so for trademarks as well as copyrights, you get protection automatically when you start using the trademark, but you've got to be careful before you start doing that. So you can get common law rights in a trademark okay. when you start using it in the geographic area where you're using it and for the specific set of goods and services that you're using the trademark for. That's limited in scope, like I said, to that geographic area. You can take it a couple steps farther. You can file a trademark filing with the state of Wisconsin, the Department of Financial Institutions. And then the best protection that you can get with a trademark is filing a trademark with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
Okay.
And unlike the common law rights you get when you start using without doing a filing, the trademark rights that you get with the USPTO filing are nationwide in scope.
Okay. So that's with the U.S. Patent Office, USPTO.
U.S. Patent and Trademark Office,
okay.
right?
All righty. And when I'm doing that, how long does it take? Let's say I decide I want to register a trademark. How long does it take? What's involved?
Yep. So the steps. First of all, you've got to look and research whether this is something that you can trademark. So there's a couple different types of trademarks. You can get a trademark on a set of words, so a name, or you can get a trademark on a design. And before you file a trademark, or especially before you start using the trademark, you need to make sure that nobody else is using that and that you're going to have good, clean rights to the trademark.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of two big hurdles that you need in order to get a trademark. One of them, and there's a lot of more detailed rules that come up in, you know, depending on the situation, but the two big rules are the trademark can't be a generic description of the goods that you're providing. So I mm-hmm. couldn't go and file or have any protection really on a name for a burger place called The Burger Place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious what it is, and it's not unique at all. So it can't be generic. That's number one. And number two is your trademark can't be confusingly similar to somebody else's trademark.
Okay.
So
yeah, we've seen a few of those where there's been things like McDonald's. People have used things like the Arches and gotten into some serious trouble on things like that.
Yep. So you want, before you start doing something like that, you want to look into it first, make sure it's not confusingly similar. So once you've got those two hurdles passed, and you can find a lot of that out on the internet to
okay.
see, you know, what else is out there, what types of things might I run into. You can do that yourself with Google search, or you can come talk to us, and we can search USPTO's website. We can also search the Department of Financial Institutions website for other mm-hmm. company names in Wisconsin, and you can do that for other states too. Once you've got it kind of cleared and you think, yeah, I got protection on this, it's a pretty quick process to actually file the trademark, but it ends up taking about 6 to 8 months typically before you have your registered federal trademark from the time you file. It typically
okay.
takes about 6 months.
Chris, what is it? Explain what a trade secret is and how do you protect yourself?
Yep, so a trade secret is kind of an underrated type of intellectual property, not necessarily a patent, trademark, or copyright, but it can be just as valuable. So a trade secret is defined, each state kind of defines it differently. In Wisconsin, there's a statute that defines it essentially as information that is not known to the public generally and derives economic value from not being known to the public generally.
Such as? Yeah.
So the Coke, I mean, the most famous example is the Coca-Cola recipe.
Okay.
That is a secret that Coca-Cola has. There's a formula that they have. It's not known outside of their company, and they do a great job protecting that so that people can't mimic the, you know, product that they come up with.
I think another one is like Colonel Sanders' chicken recipe.
Yep.
Okay.
Could it be a process?
It could be, again, anything that falls within that definition of things that are not generally known and derive economic value because they're not known.
Okay. How do you protect yourself?
There's no filing system or anything like that for trade secrets. The best way to protect yourself from your trade secrets becoming known to the public are having agreements with the people that you do give access to the trade secret. Principally, that's employees. So, and that having an agreement with the employees ties into all these types of intellectual property.
Confidentiality,
Work for hire. So you want to have an agreement with all your employees or independent contractors that you hire to create ideas for you. You want all of those people to say, yep, all of the intellectual property that I come up with while I'm working with or for you is going to be owned by you.
Okay. And that's not a very complicated document.
If you come to the right people, it's not a very complicated document.
Okay. All righty. One of the things that people do miss on that is databases. My customer database. How does that play in?
There's a fine line with customer databases, and there's court cases kind of going back and forth on whether a customer database is or isn't a trade secret. Again, you just have to look at that definition of trade secret and whether that customer list derives economic value from being not generally known to the public.
Okay.
So if it's a list that you know, you can go to third parties and get lists of potential customers and things like that, that's probably not going to be considered a trade secret. But you know, a customer list that you've built over the years and that, you know, you use and it's a huge part of your business, you've got a better argument that that is a trade secret.
So have your employees sign an agreement that this is company trade secret. They cannot take that with them or any way use it.
Yep, that's the easiest way to handle that.
Would non-compete agreements come in there as well?
Yeah, typically, if you have – so non-compete agreements are – really only appropriate for certain types of employees. So high-level employees, executives, salespeople, other people that you're concerned would go out and compete against you, it's appropriate for those types of employees. And for those types of employees, you kind of wrap up the non-compete agreement with these types of intellectual property provisions. For a more typical employee, somebody who might have access to confidential information, but who you really don't have an interest in preventing them from competing with you, you just have a different agreement that is a confidentiality agreement. So you can have a non-compete and confidentiality agreement, or you can just have a confidentiality agreement that takes care of all this stuff.
Okay. So I've got a trademark, or I've got a patent, or I've got a copyright. Who protects me? In other words, is there some great, wonderful organization out there that protects me, or how do I guarantee that this is safe and that no one else is using it?
A couple things on that. So on the trademarks, if you file a federal trademark and it gets approved, anybody else who wants to file a similar trademark has to go through the process of applying with the federal government. And the federal government will, before they'll issue a trademark registration, they'll look for other registered trademarks.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one that is confusingly similar, they'll deny the second application. So
Okay. A
little bit you have the federal government looking out for you on that aspect of it. But you can also hire third-party companies that make a living essentially by searching all these different databases and making sure that nobody else is using your trademark.
Okay.
Or you can just Google it yourself every once in a while.
And if I find somebody is using it, what do I do?
Well, it depends on the scope of their use and kind of the budget that you have. A lot of times, the first step in the process is always going to be a cease and desist letter.
Okay.
Go see your lawyer. Come see us. We'll start with a cease and desist letter on our letterhead. And in my experience, you know, majority of the time, that'll be enough. The threat of legal action is enough to get somebody to stop infringing on your intellectual property rights. If it goes beyond that, then you've got to really sit down and say, okay, is it going to be worth it for me to pursue this in court? And really, the lawsuit is the next step after that.
Okay.
I've got a butcher shop. I mean, what should I really be concerned about as far as intellectual property protection?
Well, a butcher shop, number one,
I'm going basic here.
Yeah, that's a good example because this stuff does apply to everybody. You might not think that it necessarily does, but depending on the types of customer relationships the butcher shop has, what kind of agreements it has with other people, they might need to have some of these things taken care of. So if they have a website, they have somebody develop some kind of internal system for them that they don't want their competitors to have.
Again,
things like that. Yeah. They want to, again, make sure that they own all of their intellectual property. And then, from a marketing perspective, the trademarks come into play. So if it's a butcher shop, maybe it's cool to call it the butcher shop, or maybe they have, some other unique name and they want to make sure that nobody else can use that name. So the trademarks come into play for them,
okay,
too.
Great.
So really any type of business can use intellectual property protection to their advantage.
Okay. Well, we're talking to Chris Snyder. Chris is one of the attorneys with the Epiphany Law Firm here in the Valley. We're going to take a quick break here and then be back for the last session with the BizTalk show. So you are listening to BizTalk here on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. Okay, thank you very much and welcome back to the BizTalk radio show. My name is Randy Melzer. My co-host today is Dick Jones with us at SCORE. And our guest today has been Chris Snyder with the Epiphany Law Firm. Epiphany does work primarily just in business law, so the lady who was singing there probably wouldn't be one of your customers.
Probably not.
Okay, but if we got a business question, where do we get in contact with you, Chris?
You can contact us by phone at 920-996-0000, pretty easy to remember, or website is epiphanylaw.com.
Okay, and available anytime Monday morning. I can give you a call if they've got any questions.
Yep, 7:30 I think to 5:30 Monday through Friday.
Wonderful. Okay, one of the programs that you guys have put together. I know you do a lot of specialty stuff for small businesses, entrepreneurs, people who are in business and looking for help. One of them is a new monthly education program. You want to tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, we try to, instead of waiting until the clients come to us, we like to push information out to the clients as much as possible proactively so that they know some of these things and can handle it before issues come up. And we've got a new seminar once a month. It's Thursday, upcoming. This Thursday is our third of these. It's called it's called Morning Business 60. It's from 7:30 to 8:30 on one Thursday every month. And the idea is to have kind of an open forum for businesses with about five to 50 employees. And we touch on a different legal topic every month and talk about things that work and things that don't work for the employers in those particular areas.
Okay. And where do we register for that? And where is it located?
Same contact information. You want to talk to Amanda Frederick at our office. You can reach her 920-996-0000. And the location of that is at the Cambria Suites out on Ballard.
Right, okay. And, as is our custom at this point in time, we do ask our guests to give us a biz tip for the people out there. What is your piece of wisdom as far as talking about intellectual properties?
My biz tip is to think about all of these issues before you act, whether it's thinking about the value of your name, before you start using it, or having your employees sign a work-for-hire agreement before you employ them. Think about these things before you act, before it's too late to do what you should have done months ago.
Okay, because that can save you an awful lot of money in the long run.
Absolutely.
Okay, so when you're setting up your original business organizational structure and plan, that's the time to make sure to incorporate all this good stuff.
Yep, come see us and we can handle everything for you at the same time.
Okay, well, wonderful. Again, Chris Snyder with the Epiphany Law Office. Thank you very much for bringing us the information today.
Thanks for having me.
Just take a couple of minutes here with just some final wrap-up stuff. Again, reminder, we also at SCORE will be starting our Simple Steps program beginning January the 14th. Go out to the SCORE. That'll be scorefoxcities.org, a website, and you can register for that program out there. The other thing I'm going to do is just mention another program that I'm involved with, and just take a second. We're working with the Y Service Club here in the Fox Cities, and our fundraiser is the Christmas tree sales. So if you're out and about this week and looking for Christmas trees, we have some beautiful ones. They're at the Y tree lot right in front of Festival Foods on Northland Avenue, open this morning from 9 until 5 tonight. And if you are looking for a really big tree, we've got a 15-footer out there, so come on out and see us if you have a really big need. So anyway, enjoyed it. This is the SCORE Fox Cities Biz Talk Show, and we're here on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.